It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. Wednesday edition of the show underway. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. It is September 20 of 2023. Yet another ambitious agenda laid out for the program. Details forthcoming. Hope you're having an outstanding hump day. Hope to make the next hour just a little better for you. However you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you're following us on X at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at Real Colbert. Like our Facebook page, type in 1650thefan. You'll find us on the Zuck Machine. Hammer the like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. You'll get more local and statewide sports content into your Facebook feed. What's not to like? Make sure that you bookmark the website. That's where all that content originates, 1650thefan.com. Also, you can get the podcast of this show, the podcast of the Coaches Huddle, Week 5 edition of that coming up between 6 and 7 tonight. Mark Simpson standing by at Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub in Cedar Falls, where, of course, Cedar Falls high school football coach Brad Rimmert, Waterloo East to Carlos Anderson, Waterloo West Lonnie Moore, and Waterloo Columbus Catholics Brad Schmidt will all join Mark to recap last week's games and look ahead to what's up for all of them in Week 5. So look forward to that tonight. We will, another little programming note here while I'm on the topic, we will join tonight's Pirates-Cubs game in progress after the coaches huddle. So that is a 6:40 first pitch tonight. So either probably the bottom of the first inning, start of the second inning, we'll join that Cubs-Pirates game in progress tonight after the coaches huddle at 7. So be aware of that. And we will talk Cubs today on the show. Tommy Birch, friend of the program, does an outstanding job as the Des Moines Register's Iowa Cubs beat writer. Tommy is plugged in at all levels of the Cubs organization. So for all my Cub fans out there, be sure and keep it locked right here. Tommy joins us in the third segment today of the show. And I will say this, for my Cardinal fans out there or whomever, they go, oh man, Cole, another Cubs segment? Well, here's the thing. One, they're in a push for the playoffs, all right? So I'm making no damn apology for talking Cubs on the home of the Cubs in Eastern Iowa. Two, I will say this, it's not some lollipop and rainbow butterflies segment that's going to happen with Tommy, because I've got gripes like a lot of other Cub fans have right now. I have communicated some of those on the show lately, and that's that, to me, Cubs manager David Ross, over the course of particularly this season, as the Cubs have obviously not been developing a 26-man roster, but contending with a 26-man roster for the majority of the season, David Ross has proven himself in my mind's eye for whatever the hell it's worth. But hey, they give me a microphone, so I'm going to tell you. David Ross has proven to be a stubborn egomaniac. I mean, I like this Cubs team. Yet somehow David Ross, who was one of the darling children of the Cubs in the Theo Joe Madden era that, of course, broke the curse in 2016, has turned heel, all but turned heel, if not a complete turn as a manager. His refusal to play young players and ride on what he calls, quote, the guys that got us here. Well, a lot of those guys are now on the injured list, including the closer, Adbert Alzolay, including a great middle reliever in Michael Fulmer, including two of your third basemen, both platoon sides of your third baseman in Jaime Candelario and Nick Madrigal. A guy who played for Joe Madden, not a perfect manager by any stretch, not at all. But a guy who played for Joe Madden, who in 2015 and 16, when all that young talent was coming up for the Cubs, Joe Madden was saying, rip the Band-Aid off. You call a young kid up, we're going to put him in the starting lineup. You call a young bullpen arm up, we're going to find a spot for him first day that he's up with the big league club to get him into a game and rip the Band-Aid off. And David Ross has done the exact opposite. And it seems like it's come at a cost. And it may well come at a much larger cost here as the Cubs are holding on for dear life to that third and final National League wild card spot, half game behind the Arizona Diamondbacks, who took it to them this past weekend in Arizona. So we'll break it down with Tommy. And like I said, he's plugged in. He knows a lot about the Cubs organization. We'll see what he has to say about it all. Before we get to Tommy in the third segment, of course, to start things off here, in just a few short moments, we'll get to area sports news and scores for your Wednesday. After we're done there, we'll take the first time out, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas. They'll get you set if you want to bet a shekel or two on tonight's Cubs-Pirates game. We'll also get a forecast for the rest of this, at one point, wet Wednesday. Even got some pea-sized hail out here on the northwest end of Cedar Falls. But we'll come back in the second segment, and Sean Keeler, our great friend, former longtime Des Moines Register sports columnist, current Denver Post sports columnist and reporter. We'll break it all down with Sean in terms of what's trending in the NFL and college football. And, you know, he's the Coach Prime reporter, so I'm not going to apologize for talking about it. I stayed up. I think I told you on Monday, I stayed up late and watched Colorado defeat Colorado State in double overtime. It's a phenomenon until it isn't, right? And we'll see what the Buffs are made of. They've got Oregon this Saturday, and they got USC a week from this Saturday. So maybe the magic carpet ride comes to a halt or something close to it. We'll see what Sean has to say when he joins us in the next segment of today's show. After we're done with Sean, we take the timeout at the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Like I said, on the other side of that break in the third segment, we'll talk Cubs baseball with Tommy Birch from the Des Moines Register. After we're done there, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up what is a Wednesday edition of the show before handing the baton to Mark Simpson. As I mentioned, standing by at Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub for the Week 5 edition of the Coach's Huddle. On a much more serious note, as you might imagine, when it comes to trying to hit on what's topical here in the first segment of today's show, Chicago Bears defensive coordinator Alan Williams has resigned abruptly. Obviously, just 2 weeks into this NFL season, he had left the team for personal reasons before last week's game, and that provoked Matt Eberflus, the Bears head coach, to have the play sheet back in his hand. He's a former defensive coordinator in the Bears' loss to Tampa Bay. And for all the drama surrounding all that, a lot of times when somebody leaves for personal reasons, there's, of course, the respect for privacy. A lot of times, you know, it's tragic circumstances, unfortunately. But albeit, yes, I'll preface it by saying, one, This is what I'm gathering from the internet, from social media, albeit from reporters, largely. And two, very important to point out, this is all alleged. But Alan Williams, the now former Bears defensive coordinator is, as I click on Twitter, the number one trending topic. And word is that former Bears defensive back Charles Tillman, who should be a Hall of Famer one day, interestingly enough, Charles Tillman's post-NFL career has led him to being a federal agent with the FBI. And there are multiple reports that Charles Tillman had let the Bears organization know that the FBI would soon be doing a raid of Alan Williams' home. Now, this is a conflicting report. There are conflicting reports on these allegations. And I will say that if you look into this trending topic on Twitter, what is speculated is terrible, to say the least, about what may be at play here. I hope and I pray this is not the case, but it is most definitely something that is going to be a massive story, it seems, moving forward here in the short term in the NFL. And when's the last time you heard about a defensive coordinator resigning from an NFL team? There's only so many of those jobs, right? That's the old saying. Doing so in week two. So something to have on your radar here, as it seems like the this was kept quiet as long as possible, and that this may well not have been a resignation by choice from Bears defensive coordinator Alan Williams. So I think in the with respect to responsibility, I should probably leave it at that for now. But like I mentioned, it is one of the top trending topics on Twitter, on X, whatever you want to call it. And you're going to hear more about it. We'll see if this might be something that's dominating the sports talk shows throughout the day tomorrow. But nonetheless, let's dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Wednesday. Last night in Metro High School Volleyball, 5A, 6th ranked Cedar Falls swept Cedar Rapids Prairie in three sets. That was at Prairie. And in Class 2A, 5th ranked Denver downed Waterloo Columbus in three sets. That match was at Columbus. The Cedar Falls boys golf team hosted the Tiger Invitational yesterday at Pheasant Ridge. A total of 12 teams competed. Johnston won the meet. Tigers and Waukee tied for second. Cedar Falls' Evan Schofield was the meet's medalist, shot a 2-under-70. In Metro girls swimming and diving last night, Waterloo West defeated Cedar Rapids Washington 117-66. In case you missed it, we did have this yesterday on the show when Ethan Petrick of the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier joined. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz confirmed that tight end Luke Lachey will most likely miss the remainder of the season following an injury to his right ankle against Western Michigan. Ferentz also confirmed the Hawkeyes' two top running backs on the depth chart will miss Saturday's game at Penn State. Caleb Johnson and Jazzian Patterson both have lower leg injuries. Backup LaShawn Williams rushed 12 times last Saturday for 145 yards. In their absence, he added two catches for 27 yards and a touchdown. And that Iowa football team going to be breaking out a different look for that Big Ten opener at number 7 Penn State. Hawkeyes going to be wearing their black pants against the Nittany Lions. Hawks have worn black pants at home in the past, black on black, but this might be the first time. I'm pretty sure this is the first time they've worn those pants on the road. I saw a video of it today, pretty sharp. Kickoff at Happy Valley is at 6:30 Saturday night. That game on, I think that's on CBS, if I'm not mistaken. Iowa women's basketball All-American Caitlin Clark has been named the winner of the James E. Sullivan Award. It's awarded to the most outstanding athlete at the collegiate or Olympic level in the United States. Clark led the Hawkeyes to their first-ever NCAA championship game and posted the first 40-point triple-double in NCAA tournament history this past season. Clark also, of course, was named the National Player of the Year. Iowa plans to build a $20 million training center for the women's gymnastics team and its spirit squads, pending approval by the State Board of Regents. The project will be paid for with athletic department revenue and private gifts. The building will be adjacent to the women's soccer and field hockey facilities. The women's gymnastics team and spirit squads have practiced in the field house, which opened in 1927. And basketball fans are invited to attend UNI's Main Street Madness in downtown Cedar Falls tomorrow evening. It's a free event, allows fans to interact with the UNI men's and women's basketball teams on a temporary court in the middle of downtown Cedar Falls. I think that's on 2nd Street, I think that's on, right over there by the new kind of amphitheater plaza area. Main Street Madness will start at 5:30 tomorrow night with an autograph session with those UNI men's and women's basketball players. And then the Panthers will take to the court for some skill challenges and public interaction. There will be a live DJ, giveaways, face painting. Fans are encouraged to show up early for a chance to get a special edition rally towel courtesy of First Bank. And then 93.5 The Mix, our Koloff media station, will be there as well, your home for UNI men's basketball. The Waterloo Blackhawks are preparing for the start of the 2023-24 USHL regular season. The Hawks begin their season on Friday at the USHL Fall Classic in Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania. Waterloo will take on Fargo on Friday and Madison on Saturday. Waterloo coming off a 40-win season last year. And you can hear that regular season opener right here on The Fan, of course. Your home for Blackhawks hockey. Pre-game coverage tentatively scheduled for 4:10 on Friday. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast for the rest of this Wednesday. We'll come back on the other side, and we will talk what's trending in the NFL and college football. And yes, Coach Prime with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. That's next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields met with the media not once but twice today, and the second time was to clarify comments that he made earlier in the day about his play and what coaching had to do with it.
I need to play better. That's it. Point blank. If y'all, that's what I should have said in the first place. But, you know, I was trying to give y'all more details because I appreciate y'all for doing what y'all do, and I tried to give y'all the information y'all want for you guys' job.
Fields said that he felt the media took his comments out of context. The Bears, busy day in Chicago, got a resignation letter from their defensive coordinator, Alan Williams, and the team also released quarterback Nathan Peterman. Giants running back Saquon Barkley and left tackle Andrew Thomas will not play tomorrow night against the 49ers, while 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk is considered a game-time decision. The Cleveland Browns signed free agent running back Kareem Hunt to a one-year deal. Phillies topped the Braves today in 10-6-5. Twins over the Reds 5-3. Minnesota's magic number to clinch the Central is now 1. Rangers topped the Red Sox 15-5. Astros over the O's 2-1.
Start your day with Mark Simpson on Maximum Mornings, weekdays 6 to 8. Wrap up your workday with Colbert on Cole & Company, weekdays 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
If it's Thursday and you have the urge to sing karaoke, Sunday, an NFL Sunday ticket is the only way to watch your favorite team, or any day of the week and you need an ice-cold beer or drink and a great meal. Cooper's Tap Room at the bottom of College Hill in Cedar Falls is the place to be. It's the Cedar Valley's newest establishment with the feel of a longtime local spot. So come and belly up to the bar or grab a booth. Find out more at cooperstaproom.com or by following them on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or Twitter.
What does it mean to be bold? To me, being bold means to dream bigger, live better, and make an impact. I'm Dr. Jared Smith, Superintendent of Schools for the Waterloo Community School District, where we're gearing up for another awesome and enriching school year. With over 10,000 students across 21 campuses, our district remains one of the largest in the state of Iowa. We use our 21st century curriculum to teach our students to be bold, and we couldn't do any of this without the strong, ongoing support of our parents, teachers, staff, administrators, local businesses, and city officials. Thank you all for everything you do to support the Waterloo Community School District, with the ultimate objective of helping each student in the district to be bold and achieve their goals. Learn more about how we provide educational opportunities for every student at waterlooschools.org.
The Waterloo Community School District, where the future is now.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Juice Reel, the betting intelligence tool that's making better bettors. Open the App Store and get your hands on Juice Reel. Juice R-E-E-L. Juice Reel.
Cubs clinging to a half-game lead in the National League Wild Card race. They have that lead over the Miami Marlins for the final wild card of the NL. The Cubs are another 75 favorite with Justin Steele on the mound today at Wrigley Field against Mitch Keller and the Pirates, plus 145. 8.5 under the total. The Marlins are $1.15 home favorite against the Mets, plus 105, 7 over the total at Lone Depot Park. In the NFL Sunday, the Chiefs are a 13-point home favorite against the Chicago Bears. Iowa State laying 3 at home with Oklahoma State, 36.5 the total to Jack Trice Stadium. Penn State, a 15-point home favorite against the Iowa Hawkeyes. For the latest sports betting news and information, go to VSIN.com. Mike Sennett, 1650, The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Slight chance for scattered storms tonight, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Lows level off around 56. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 79. 59 tomorrow night, cloudy. Upper 70s, Friday and Saturday. Chance for scattered storms, Friday. Chance for scattered showers, Saturday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 73.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert. Follow Cole on Twitter at Real Colbert.
Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Cole and Company here on The Fan. We're joined now by our friend Sean Keeler, former longtime Des Moines Register sports columnist, current sports columnist and reporter at the Denver Post. And you can follow him on X at Sean Keeler. Of course, we like to talk about this, that, and everything else, but the phenomenon that has taken over college football, Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes delivered once again as millions upon millions of Americans, Sean, including myself, I don't know how I did it, I stayed up late and watched that double overtime thriller, 43-35, the Buffs get the win for the Battle of Colorado over the CSU Rams. Just take us inside Folsom Field. I mean, what was that environment like being there?
Late. Really, really late. I think I've never been in an event or had not been for a long time where I had to show up at 6 a.m., then take a break, and then come back at like 4 and work until 3:30 in the morning.
Wow.
So my view of what was probably going to be one of the college football games of the year was probably not as romantic as everybody else that's more at home. It's like, all I can think about is my boss called me the next day because I have to go to Broncos Sunday morning. You know, it's like, and you could tell, I mean, never mind the Broncos look like garbage, but like the people who'd been there and closed the press box at 4 a.m. then are like, you know, next day at 11, just like, hey, pass the coffee. That's good. There's some sugar. So it was a bleary-eyed but exciting and certainly much more of an exciting game than I would have thought. I'll give it that. And, you know, hats off to the Buffs for pulling it out after kind of not showing up for about 52 minutes.
We're really going to see what Coach Prime's Buffs are made of the next couple of weeks. They're going to take on Oregon and USC. And I think, Sean, to dig in on the football side of things here, because, I mean, the Coach Prime show is what it is, and I'm actually as fascinated or more fascinated by just continuing to find out what they really are as far as a football team. And Shedeur Sanders was great again, 348 yards, 4 touchdowns, but you go back a week ago against Nebraska, he took 7 sacks. In this game against Colorado State, he took 4 sacks. So that, to me, continues to illustrate, of course, this is a team that's not perfect. It's not completely built out yet. And you wonder about its greatest player, arguably, one of its greatest players, being prone to who knows what. You know, I'll knock on wood for the Colorado fans out there, but there's got to be a level of serious concern here, does there not, on the lack of protection for Shedeur?
Yeah, very much. And I asked Coach Prime this in and around the Henry Blackburn questions yesterday at the news conference. Yes, the one that prompted his condemning of the death threats as well as should have. I asked him that question and he presented it, and I think everybody was appreciative of that. But I'm like, to follow up, are you worried that people are going to pop Shedeur and that he's going to be a marked man? Because, you know, they can't beat you straight up, so someone's going to try doing something probably unseemly if you're not careful. And he's like, well, and he kind of sidestepped. He's like, well, everybody who's a star player is got a target on their back. And, you know, Bo Nix has got a target on his back. And I think our offensive line should take that as a challenge, or worse to that effect. And I thought to myself, well, they haven't risen to that so far.
No.
It is remarkable. And I think of the stats that kind of tell you how remarkable, we talked about this last week, the stats that tell you how remarkable Shedeur Sanders has been legitimately. In the game that they keep getting, the Buffs keep playing worse and worse as the opponent. The Buffs seem to play to the level of their opposition so far, which, given that they go from Colorado State to Oregon at USC, means you've got to be really, really cranking it up to get to that next point. He's been sacked. I think he's the highest sack percentage per drop back in the country.
Wow!
To this point, and that's no way to live. And that's where you are going to put yourself in danger, not just from a football standpoint, because I struggle at times to name the backup, and I'm blanking right now as I walk here in Greater Boulder County, and I think others would struggle as well. And as a father, Deion Sanders has to be concerned that that is going to be something that is going to affect his son in adverse ways. And I've had people tell me, one coaching staff said no, one said yes, that the exact words, Shedeur needs to be careful because he brings it on himself.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talking before that game, as you know, and it was, that thing went in with a hot temperature that Jay Norvell also contributed to be fair, but then supposedly Shedeur threw a ball that almost hit a CSU player in warmups. Shedeur is territorial, as we know from the Nebraska game, about who warms up where, if they like to look for that edge. And there was some pushing and shoving before that game, and that does not help. And if that continues as this goes, I had a coach tell me verbatim, he's going to get popped and somebody else is going to go to the hospital. Now, he didn't wish that upon him. He just said to be careful.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, whether people like it or not, this is what happens by nature of the sport of football,
right,
from time to time. So kind of some final thoughts here on week three of the college football season. Sean Keeler, Denver Post sports columnist and reporter, our guest right now on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. In our neck of the woods, Brian Ferentz is living pretty because the Hawks hung 41 points on Western Michigan.
Yes.
Meanwhile, you go west on I-80 and up I-35 a little ways, and Iowa State loses 10-7 at Ohio, a game, Sean, that I did watch, and I think maybe I had a worse day watching that than the inmates at Guantanamo Bay did this past Saturday.
Yeah, there's some torture material right there.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that really registered for me was Bama having to survive USF. We talked a bit about Saban maybe retiring last week when you were on the show. Yeah. But that, for me, that was the tent poles out in this neck of the woods for college football.
Well, I apologize for that because that makes me miss the home country a little less when you see scores like that and results like that come through. Hey, are you responsible for some of these Matt Campbell deep fakes that are going out there now on my Twitter feed?
That one and the Brian Ferentz one are great. I would love to take credit for them, but somebody else was smart enough to jump into that market and create that market before me, and all the credit to them. It's hilarious. I feel bad for the people that are tricked by him, but it's hilarious.
I know. To me, that's way more interesting than Deion Sanders. I'm almost envious of him. Like, you have to determine, because we're in a world where everything, the line between an Onion headline and reality has been so blurred,
yeah,
on several levels, as we know, never mind politics, culture, what have you, entertainment, that it's like, I don't think I could tell AI Brian Ferentz from real Brian Ferentz. Like, why don't they just have ChatGPT call the play? I mean, if we're going to replace journalists with AI bots, it can't be any worse, can it? Why not just have them call Iowa?
I don't think ChatGPT would be much worse of a play caller than Brian Ferentz.
Can you see a computer up there and O'Keefe's got to like kick it every once in a while to make sure it's still going? And they cut to the booth and there's just like the little Hal guy. He's got the ticker tape reels.
Just make sure you move.
Sticks out the play.
Yeah, just make sure you move the mouse, because I'm not sure if our screen settings are correct. If it might fall asleep, and then we'll get a delay of game.
It looks like a 93 Macintosh, and that's where ChatGPT is running the Iowa offense. Look, again, everything is so absurd. Why not? That's got to be a thing.
Oh, sure. Exactly. NFL Week 2. Something I wanted to get to last week when you were on, we ran out of time, was after the Aaron Rodgers injury, the NFLPA calling for all natural grass fields after A-Rod's injury. And for as much as the NFLPA will say and do for, at times, that is genuinely reactionary and you go, there's just nothing's going to come of this. It's hard to make a case against this because more and more players have come out over recent years and said this whole turf phenomenon was never what it was made out to be. Those fields are just not as safe as natural grass fields. And when all this money is involved, you'd like to think that this is something that could happen in whatever climate. But then again, as I think someone like Andrew Brandt had pointed out, they're going to have to give up something to get it. That's just the way the bargaining's going to work. But, man, this is something that should happen. You would think the owners would want it with the money invested in the players.
Well, NFL owners, you know, we've talked about this. You know, that's the least powerful union in major North American sports and the hardest kind of nut to crack, among probably the most consolidated, now that, especially now that Dan Snyder's gone, actually 100% now that Dan Snyder's gone, and the Broncos situation has been resolved. Like, that is probably the most powerful owner block in sports, and certainly the most united because they're also the richest in terms of what they're getting. And the player power is nil. The no guarantee contracts thing. It's just kind of awful from a union standpoint. It's almost like media and writing unions. we're fighting it, but I don't know how many wins we're going to get out of this windup. So they do care, but to a point. And you would think they care enough about the bottom line that the trouble with NFL owners thinking that way is their answer to everything is, well, there's just another rich, there's just another fast kid I can get somewhere that I can get that's cheaper. That helps my bottom line. They don't think of the humanity, although I'll give you an exception. When you bring up why don't owners care about this from a safety standpoint, the Broncos turf was all chewed up sometime between week 15 and 17 last year. So for the home finale after New Year's for the Chargers game, they literally spent, not literally, but I want to say a ballparking off the top of my head, $200,000, $300,000 for one game to re-sod.
Wow.
In Power Field, they literally laid down new grass between Christmas, I want to say in January 4th, I think the last game was the 5th or 6th, or thereabouts. They resodded the whole thing because they're like, this just isn't safe. We're not going to deal with that. So I think that ended up, the good news for the Broncos, that showed a lot about the new ownership group. The bad news for the Broncos is it's still probably the third best thing they've done since they got here, and Sean Payton is well below that list.
All right,
if that makes any sense.
Should we talk about wristband Russell? I thought that was hilarious.
Dude, he is the short version of all that. Well, I can give you a couple things. Here's how you know the Broncos are in trouble. One, our esteemed senior columnist, Mark Kisla, isn't even going to Broncos Wednesday today. I can't think. Like, I just left Dion Wednesday, which wasn't Dion Wednesday at all. They bring an assistant coach, and you don't get much. I left. Kids was there, and I said, sorry, you're going to Broncos. And he goes, nah. I'm like, oh, my God, they are dead. They're dead to us. They are. They're done.
Wow.
They're toast. One. Two, Sean Payton's rolling, looking for space under those buses, isn't he? He's already looking down and going,
yeah.
See, there's a space for Vance Joseph. There is a space for the offensive line. And, oh, look, there's just a little bit underneath the carburetor there, and there's some room for a number three. I think Russ fits under there just fine. They're all going to go. Like, he's going to – if this isn't right, and I don't think it will be, depending on what happens against your Bears a week after next, Miami thing will get ugly because I think Miami's legit and I think the Broncos are not. The Bears and Broncos are kind of, you're going to love that because they're kind of on the same level, but with like young quarterback with a bad roster as opposed to old quarterback with bad roster.
Yeah.
He's throwing everybody under, and it's just going to be there's going to be a team meeting under the buses because he's got a deal for another 8 years, 9 years. you don't.
Wow. 2 weeks is all it took for all this drama with the Denver Broncos. I can't cannot imagine what it's going to be like week 10, 11, 12 in that neck of the woods. Hey, I told you I had some good vibes on your Chicago White Sox before we...
I hate you for even bringing it up.
No, have you... Come on here. Now, have you played that Immaculate Grid game?
No, but I know people who love it. No, I love it, yeah.
Yeah, so I... Today, it was like a pleasant trip down White Sox memory lane. By the way, I got an Immaculate today. I completed the grid. And the grid intersections were a White Sox player who also at one point was a Seattle Mariner. So, of course, I used White Sox legend Ken Griffey Jr.
20 games in a playoff series.
How about
White Sox legend Ken Griffey? Yeah.
How about this, though? The next one will test your knowledge here. A White Sox player who had a career batting average of .300.
Anyone, or would they have to play for the Mariners too?
No. This is anybody who played for the White Sox that had a .300 career average.
I think Luke Appling did, didn't he? Surely Frank Thomas did.
I'd have to take your word for it. I went with Maglio Ordóñez.
Wow, was that the one?
Yeah, it was one of the correct answers.
Well, that's good. I'm pretty sure Luke Appling, and there were many, but that's, yeah, Eddie Collins on down the line, yeah.
I'll have to check that out. I'll have to check those answers.
Some guy named Shoeless Joe was pretty good, so they kicked him out.
The final one was any White Sox player that had a 200-hit season, and I went with everybody's favorite teammate, Albert Bell.
Yeah, that Bell still has their home run record.
He had that.
Crazy to me.
I figured it would work. I didn't know if he did have a 200-hit season, but I remembered he had that one monster season with the White Sox.
Yeah, that's still the home run leader, too, I think.
So
Mags had one, yep.
So, you know what? When I hear the names Maglio Ordóñez and Albert Bell and Ken Griffey Jr., I think of better times for the White Sox.
I think I want to cry, but you know, you and I think of things differently.
I tried, Sean. I tried.
I don't nostalgize, man. It's like looking forward. All I see is dark desolation and like the Last of Us video game. That's what I see when I see White Sox baseball.
Well, I mean,
it's like a bunch of zombies, and I'm gonna get eaten, and it's just sad.
On the north side, you got a old school manager that's stubborn with an ego problem who ran his team into the ground, and now they're probably gonna miss the playoffs. So,
How does that end up? Hey, that sounds like last season. How does that go?
Yeah. Familiar territory, huh?
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Is he a Hall of Fame baseball person?
No. Shouldn't be.
See, your stubborn veteran manager at least does not have a mugshot with the Maricopa Police Department, at least.
Well, not yet. He's still young.
There's plenty of time.
Oh, that's probably time for us. It's probably time for us to call it a segment at that juncture.
You think?
Yeah, Sean, thanks so much for being here, man. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Right.
Appreciate you.
See you, buddy.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is brought to you by Your Life Iowa. Free support 24/7 at yourlifeiowa.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Todd Kim. Two teams looking to bounce back from embarrassing losses collide in Ames Saturday when Iowa State hosts Oklahoma State in the Big 12 opener for both. The Cyclones are coming off a 10-7 setback at Ohio. The Cowboys were throttled at home 33-7 by South Alabama. After finishing 1-2 in non-conference play, senior defensive back Ben Nichols says the Cyclones view the conference opener as a fresh start.
You kind of look at it that everybody's 0-0 right now going into Big 12 play. Yeah, it's exciting. You know, it's a new opportunity, a new challenge for us. And I think that if we can come out ready to go, we'll be all right.
Northwestern is top-ranked, the latest NAIA football top 25. Grandview second, Morningside third. Dort is up to 16th this week. Graceland 25th. This is Radio Iowa.
If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide, experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis, or just need someone to listen, 988 provides a direct connection to free, confidential, and compassionate support. When you call, text, or chat 988, you'll be quickly connected to trained crisis counselors who will listen to your concerns, provide support, and connect you to additional resources if needed. There is hope. You are not alone. For 24/7 confidential support, just call, text, or chat 988lifeline.org.
The will of a farmer is like no other, forged by the strength of generations past, propelled by the hope of what lies ahead. Unpredictability cannot shake its resolve, It wears a coat of courage and commitment. Boots made of love for the land. At BASF, we support you with tools for tomorrow. New chemistries, seed traits, and technologies. Because we know the world's future will be fed by the will of a farmer. BASF, helping you do the biggest job on earth.
Your local one-hour heating and air conditioning knows how miserable it feels when your AC goes out. You want it fixed fast, fixed right, and get a fast quote. Unlike some companies, we don't give you a quote until we actually see what the problem is. Then we'll give you our straightforward price and always stand by our work. Right now, get savings on any AC repair. Call 855-1-HOUR.
Sounds good. Check the other one quick.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
Tommy's Express Sounds Car good. Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy
the
Club app today, sign up as a member,
and
get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, skip the line. Free mat washes
and
vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash, fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash, it's your time to shine.
You're listening to Cole and Company on 1650, The Fan.
Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Cole and Company here on The Fan. We've got the Week 5 edition of the Coaches Huddle coming up in a little less than a half hour's time. Mark Simpson standing by at Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub in Cedar Falls, where he will, of course, be joined by the four Metro High School football coaches to recap last week's games and look ahead to what's to come this Friday night, or I guess in Waterloo Columbus Catholic's case, what's to come tomorrow night as the Sailors will take on top-ranked Grundy Center in Class 1A. But we're going to talk some baseball right now on the show as Tommy Birch, outstanding Des Moines Register reporter. He is the iCubs reporter for the Register, plugged in at all levels of the Chicago Cubs franchise. And this segment, of course, for my Cub fans out there, or I guess maybe the Cardinal fans that I know listen that might want to hate listen to this segment, because I got some things to get off my chest as the Cubs are making this playoff push here. Tommy, welcome to the show. Maybe a little bit of an ominous intro, but nonetheless, thanks for being here. Cubs got a win last night, beat up on the Pirates, so I guess that's good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you got to do right now. You got to beat those teams that just are not very good. I think that's been a big problem for the Cubs at times this season, is any chance that they've had to really capitalize and kind of gain some momentum and beat up on some of those bad teams, they just haven't capitalized on. And, you know, we've said this for a long time this season. A big thing when it comes to the Cubs is they are just so wildly inconsistent. We see them win like 9 in a row. Then they follow that up by, you know, dropping 10 out of the next 11. So I think with as much time as there's left in the season, you hope that they can rebound quickly enough, put together a strong winning streak, and get into the postseason with some momentum. But we've seen it come and go plenty of times that you can't feel too confident about this team right now, yeah, or really any time.
There's been some youth injected onto the roster, a couple of top-shelf prospects, and Pete Crow Armstrong and Alexander Canario since the last time we spoke, Tommy, and last night when it came to the Cubs, you know, just absolutely shutting the door on a Pirates comeback. It was Canario getting his first start after being called up, I think maybe close to 3 weeks ago. That young man
was
called
this year. It seems like it's been so long. Canario went up this year, right?
Yeah, well, I think so, because the baseball season is played in a calendar year. So it's not like basketball or something, or football, where it starts in one year and ends in the other. But, I mean, that young man had quite the debut last night, and it was highlighted by him in his first start getting a grand slam. Here's what it sounded like.
The 1-2, Canario hits one in the air, deep left center field, way back, this will go, grand slam!
You knew it was a good matchup for Canario. He got the high fastball a couple times, fouled a couple off, and guess what? The kid's first home run in the friendly confines, first home run in the big leagues, a grand slam here in front of 34,000.
10-1 Cubs here in the eighth.
So as I mentioned, Tommy, 14-1 was the final of that game, but Canario played a large part in, you know, putting the nails in the coffin last night of a game that the Cubs needed. And they needed a blowout win like that where the bats really, you know, came back alive. And I suppose just to kind of rip the Band-Aid off here, as us Cub fans are like, you know, hoping for the best, but doing what we do best and bracing for the worst. The thing that comes to mind for me is Pete Crow Armstrong, Alexander Canario, as I mentioned, have been called up. Meanwhile, you dig into the numbers, and Chris Morel, as much as I like that young guy, he's not played well since the All-Star break. Basically, once the Cubs really got on their run, he really started to encounter some struggles this season. And then Mike Tauchman, who's a great story, a 32-year-old outfielder who had been over to Japan and kind of revived his career. I had read yesterday that since my birthday, August 12th, Tauchman's hitting .172. However, we've got Canario and PCA, top prospects, that are sitting on the bench. And it's one thing to, like, just have that be the case, Tommy. But David Ross played for Joe Maddon, won a World Series playing for Joe Maddon, a guy that when the young guy came up, he would say, rip the Band-Aid off, put him in there right away. Whether he's a bullpen guy or, you know, an outfielder or an infielder, it really blows my mind of what to think about the manager and the decision-making, which you can always critique. I'll put that out there. But, man, it's turning my hairs gray, and they're already turning gray on their own.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the most frustrating things when you watch the Cubs is you have some of these young guys who are playing really, really well in AAA with Iowa Cubs, and they're doing things that are worthy of a call-up. And usually, you know, if you're calling up a guy and he's playing really well, you want to ride that momentum and carry it over into the big leagues. And you know, I jokingly say the Cubs have to lead the world in, like, cooling off players, because we see it all the time where they call up some of these guys from Iowa and they sit them on the bench for a couple of games. They maybe have them pinch hit, stuff like that, and, you know, just don't really put them in a really good situation to succeed. You know, we saw that with Canario, and to me the most interesting thing is kind of the mixed messages that get sent when it comes to a guy like Canario who missed the start of the year with an injury, and they've already told him, you're going to go play in the Arizona Fall League. We want you to get those at-bats back that you missed. Well, Canario, like you said, is in the big leagues for a couple of weeks. He pinch hit one game. He started last night, hit a grand slam and a double, and now he's on the bench tonight. Well, it's like, is development the most important thing? If it is, he should be in AAA getting those at-bats. If winning is the most important thing, why is Canario not in the lineup? What good does he do sitting on the bench right now? And it's kind of the same thing when it comes to Pete Crow Armstrong. If that is an elite defender, really strong base runner, even though it doesn't look like it early on, and a guy that is sure really well at AAA Iowa, there are opportunities for at-bats, too. I get that Suzuki has played well. I get that Bellinger, when he's in the outfield, obviously, he's put together a good season. Ian Hapshire, your guy in left field. But there are ways around that to get those at-bats. And like you had said, Tauchman has been struggling mightily. And we've seen so many teams around Major League Baseball that have brought up some of these young prospects, put them into the starting lineup, and that's kind of sparked a light or some excitement into them. I think of the Reds. I think of the Orioles. And you're not able to get that same type of impact if you just call a guy up and sit him on the bench. So I really thought last night with what Canario did, it was going to earn him another start. But you know, there's a clear line in the sand that's been drawn by David Ross that he is going to go with his veteran guys, and he is going to ride them to the bitter end.
And it just blows my mind, in particular, when you think back to not only him playing for Joe Maddon, but in 2015, his first year with the Cubs, where that was when that injection of youth really started to come up on that Theo Epstein farm system. And then the Cubs surprised everybody, made the playoffs, and ultimately lost to the New York Mets in the NLCS. That blows my mind. And to, I suppose, follow up on what you said about Rossi saying we're going to ride the guys that got us here. Well, I mean, is it fair to say, Tommy, that that's come at a cost already? Because Adbert Alzolay, your closer that was ridden hard throughout August, is on the IL with a forearm strain. Basically, you're one of your better middle relievers, and Michael Fulmer back on the IL for a second time in a matter of less than a week and a half with a forearm strain. Jaimer Candelario, who played almost nonstop since the trade deadline, on the IL with a back injury that may keep him out through the rest of the regular season. And then the most recent one, Nick Madrigal, who re-injured a hamstring injury. You know, part of the, I mean, it's always going to be on the players to execute. Who knows what may or may not go into injuries, but it's hard not to extrapolate this. Am I wrong?
No, I totally agree. And kind of like I said before, where, you know, Rossi has been pretty adamant about riding those guys through what I said could be the bitter end. You're seeing kind of a big-time collapse by the Cubs, who are just stumbling to the finish line here. And I think it's safe to wonder, is there kind of a disconnect between the Cubs front office and what David Ross wants to do? You know, I think the question was certainly fair to raise when the Cubs called up Caleb Killian from Iowa. He started in Miami, and David Ross basically threw him under the bus and said, like, he is not ready. I do not want to see him until he's ready. So it was pretty clear that back then David Ross had absolutely no faith in Caleb Killian. Then you look at the situation with Canario as well, where they're saying, look, we need development. We're sending him to the Arizona Fall League. But at the same time, we're sitting him on the bench in Chicago. The Arizona Fall League is really not going to do much for the development of Alexander Canario, where he's going to be getting at-bats against 18, 19, maybe 20-year-old kids who are in high A, who he's already hit off of and proven he can have success with. I think you can make a compelling case, too, when it comes to Matt Mervis, and the data told you that he was starting to turn things around and make good contact when he got sent down and hasn't been sent back up. So the way David Ross has managed this team has certainly opened up a lot of questions when it comes to how he's doing it and certainly not winning over any fans in the process, which scheme of things, the Cubs are not – They're not going to pay attention to what the fans want, but it's not going to make life easier on David Ross if you don't get into the postseason and you have an entire fan base completely pissed off at you.
Des Moines Register sports writer Tommy Burch, kind enough to join us on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Let's take this final timeout, come back, and wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The Washington Commanders came into the season with very little expectations. The team hasn't had a double-digit win season in over a decade. And with former fifth-round pick Sam Howell under center, not much was expected on offense. But after the addition of offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, the team has exploded on that side of the football. Washington currently averaging over 27 points per game and out to a surprising 2-0 start. It's unclear if this type of scoring is sustainable. The team doesn't have the marquee talent you would expect from an elite offense, but they have some sneaky good players. And you can't help but wonder what this means for Bieniemy. The offensive coordinator has been passed over for head coaching opportunities for many years now. But if Bieniemy can sustain this success in Washington this season, he may not have to wait much longer for a chance to finally lead his own team. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is keeping you in on all the action. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Plus, all customers take advantage of two new offers every game day this September. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. You can sign up using the code Patrick. That's code Patrick only on DraftKings Sportsbook and sign up $5. You can get $200 instantly in bonus bets.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, licensee partner Golden Nugget, Lake Charles in Louisiana, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Hey, welcome back for a final time on a Wednesday. Got to thank Sean Keeler of the Denver Post and Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register for joining today's show. Coming up, an hour's worth of Metro High School football talk. The Week 5 edition of the Coaches Huddle with Mark Simpson on tap. He is standing by at Pepper's Grill and Sports Pub in Cedar Falls, where the Metro coaches from Cedar Falls, Waterloo East, West, and Columbus will join him. Look back on Week 4, look ahead to Week 5. After the Coaches Huddle, we'll join Cubs Pirates in progress at 7. That'll probably be bottom of the first inning or top of the second, I would guess. So keep it locked right here. Have a great night, everybody. I am back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.